continue to hear this verse over and over and over again. Because last week we saw that Jeroboam, here's what God said about Jeroboam. Jeroboam, the man of God, not only is your son going to die, and he did, but I am going to annihilate all of the males out of your family so that you have no heritage left. There is no heritage going to be left in the house of Jeroboam according to what God said. But yet we read in 1 Kings 11:38 that it shall be, God said, and this again, this is the man of God giving Jeroboam the instructions that, listen, I have done this. I have split this kingdom. I've done this in my sight. I have given you these tribes. I've done this. But listen, here's what I want you to understand, Jeroboam. This Jeroboam. Jeroboam, it shall be, verse 38, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did. So David is the standard here, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house. Now we have gone from God saying, I'll build you a sure house, to the place where God says, I'm going to annihilate your family off the face of the earth. How can that happen? Well, God turned him over. God turned him over to what we find in our text of 2 Chronicles 12, where when Rehoboam, now we're moving back to Rehoboam, I know, but the idea is still the same, that God said, I will establish your kingdom. All you have to do is have a heart like David and do my statutes and lead the people correctly, follow the dictates of God's word, keep the law, keep everything intact, and Jeroboam, it'll go well for you. Now we read that his family is going to be annihilated. And then when we get over to the southern kingdom of Jeroboam, these are simultaneous things that are going on, if you would, that Rehoboam establishes the kingdom. I mean, he's got things in order now, and he's strengthened himself, and as soon as everything is good and everything is proper, I believe he follows the dictates of his mother, who was a pagan worshiper, and he decides to lay aside the Word of God and forsakes the law of the Lord. And listen, when a leader like Rehoboam does something, or a leader like Jeroboam does something, what happens? The people follow. People always follow the path of the least resistance. I mean, if Rehoboam says it's okay to sin, then I reckon it's okay for us to sin. If Jeroboam says that we should worship cows in Dan and Bethel, then I guess it's okay for us to do that. If Jeroboam says it's okay to have priests of the lowest of people and not follow what God says, that only the Levites could be in those positions, I guess we'll just follow that. After all, it's convenient. Well, I guess if the preacher says that it's really not important that we have Sunday night services, I reckon we just won't go to church. Somebody say amen. Now, I want you to understand, God always sends a prophet. He always sends a prophet, whether it's Rehoboam or Jeroboam or the other king. Now, listen, I know we're going back and forth, but go to back to 1 Kings 14 and look at verse 21. Now, again, this is the exact same story. There's apostasy that enters into the land of the southern kingdom. And the Bible says here, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Now, think about this. Rehoboam is the grandson of David. Only two generations. Now think about this. If you are a child in this church and your grandparents are in this church, you need to be very careful, because it doesn't take but one or two generations to quit following God. And it happens. And by the way, you can't be saved because your parents are saved. You have to make your own choice. You can't be saved because your grandparents are saved. You have to be saved because God convicts you and shows you you need to be saved. And your parents cannot dictate your heart to follow God if you don't follow God. And so just in these two generations, from David to Rehoboam. Look at verse 21 again. I'll try to get there. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Now notice this. And his mother's name was Naamah. And notice she's an Ammonite. Now, I'm going to take time here for just a minute to preach a 5-minute Mother's Day message. You said you already preached a Mother's Day message on Hannah. Well, I want you to listen to this. Mothers have the greatest influence on their children. Let me say that again. Mothers have the greatest influence upon their children. If a daddy's worth anything, he's out killing animals and dragging them home so the family can eat. You know, somebody say amen. It is the mother who has the influence of the influence factor in their children. Now listen to this. Ammonites worship the false god of Molech. And she's saying, well, son, it's okay. I know your daddy and your granddaddy worship Jehovah and all of that stuff, and the temple was built, and you know, I know that. But listen, I should have a say in this. My family, we serve Molech. We worshipped idolatry. Now you know, understand, Molech is not real. You know, Baal is not real. There is no false idol worship that's real. God said, listen, they don't have no ears that can hear. They don't have no emotions. They're a dead piece of wood or a dead piece of idolatry. But people worship that. And she said, son, I work. Now, here's the thing. Again, Rehoboam could have told his mom to take a hike, but he didn't. He allowed it. Mothers need to realize that they have great influence on the value and the character of their children. And moms, what you allow your children, what you allow, they'll do. Well, mama said, I mean, listen to me. If mama says it's okay, it's okay. But you know what? Your kids need to be influenced. Their character and their influence need to be based on seek ye first. I mean, the reason I say that is because he sent a man of God to tell him why it was happening. When Rehoboam feels very secure in the kingdom that was split, he turns his back on God. Isn't it amazing that as soon as Rehoboam got comfortable, he decided he didn't need the Bible in his life anymore? It happens. People go, oh, Lord, if you'd just give me this job, or Lord, if you'd just help me in this area, or God, you'd just do this for me, or oh, God, you'd get me out of this situation. And people make deals with God, and God blesses them, and God does something for them. And then as soon as they do, they go, oh, well, you know, I think I'll do my own thing. And you say to your children, well, it's not really that important to go to church because you quit going to church. Or, you know, we need a little bit of church, but we don't need a lot of church. I mean, come on. You know, we got ball games and we got this and we got that. Those things are more important. Listen, you may think that when your kids are 12 or 13, but when they get to 30, you look back and go, wish I'd have kept my kids in church. You see, I would call this a overconfidence or pride. And pride and overconfidence always creates apathy toward the Lord. His dependence upon God is substitute with self-dependence or independence. We are not independent. We are not independent of God. How many times have we seen Christians follow the pattern when they graduate, get married, or get a promotion? How many young people have grown up in a good church? Their parents love the Lord and have brought them to church, and they hear preaching, and in their heart they say, "Well, you know, I just want to do what I want to do. I'm just tired of everybody telling me what to do." Every once in a while, I have somebody come up and say, "You know, preacher, I'm just tired of everybody telling me what to do. I'm going to join the military." I go, "Well, just join the Marines then, because they'll never tell you what to do." I mean, you'll have a drill instructor that'll tuck you into bed at night and give you milk and warm cookies before you go to bed. Yeah, they won't tell you what to do. I'm tired of everybody telling me what to do. I'm going to join the military. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, do that. And you're like, cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Did you know the truth is there's always going to be somebody telling you what to do? If you have a job, J-O-B, which is what people need. J-O-B, people need a job. If you have a job and you go to work and you're going to be the right kind of employee and the right kind of person, guess what? They're going to kind of tell you what to do. And they're going to want you to do it the way they want it done, not the way you want it done. I'm just telling you, they feel, sometimes people get to the place where they feel like, you know, I've had God long enough. Well, I've been serving Him for 3 years. Everything's going good. God is blessing. You know, maybe I'll just lay my Bible aside for a year. It will not work out. There is a reason why the preacher stands up all the time and say, listen, you need to read your Bible every day. Where are you at in your Bible reading right now? Are you doing the Bible calendar? Are you in the places where we're reading right now? Are you going through Chronicles and reading all those names? Those are all significant. Just keep on. Just keep on reading those names. Just keep on. You'll get through Chronicles. Then you get to be over to Hebrews and all this kind of stuff. I'm just saying, where are you at in your Bible reading? Well, I hadn't read my Bible in a couple of weeks. Well, when you don't do that, then you begin to drift. That's why the preacher says, read your Bible. Are you praying? Are you spending time with God? Do you know what's on the prayer list? Do you even know what the prayer list is? Do you even know the people on the prayer list? Are you praying for the people that have physical needs, spiritual needs, salvation needs? Are you praying for somebody to be saved? Well, you know, things are busy at work. Yeah, you've established and strengthened yourself, and God has blessed you, but now you decide to lay things aside. Beloved, don't forget who's blessing us in the first place. Don't get away from the Lord. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you obeying the Bible? This is an amazing story. As far as I know, it's the only in history of boxing that this ever happened. It happened in the 1930s. Guy's name was Blaylock, and they said he had a roundhouse like nobody's business, and that he knocked a lot of people out. But he went in there one night, and he was boxing this guy from Mississippi State. And he did the roundhouse, and when he did, the guy ducked. The guy ducked. And when he did, he went around so far and hit himself right in the face and knocked himself out. That's awesome, isn't it? I wish they had YouTube back then. So you could have captured that. But the point is a lot of times God's people knock themselves out. Israel to the north and Judah to the south, knocking themselves out of God's protection. And here you find out God allows Egypt to enter in. Now let me just tell you something. If you want the world, God will allow it to happen. He'll allow it. But then you'll have, here's a couple of things that will happen. You'll get idolatry in your life because you will worship something, and your morals will change. And that's the two things that happened to Rehoboam. There was immorality, and there was idolatry. There will be some things happen when we lay aside the Bible, and it is possible to lay aside the Bible. And by the way, you can be in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, devil-hating, mission-minded, King James-only, a mission-minded Baptist church and backslide just as much sitting in a church. Because people can sit in church and lay the Bible aside, even though God has blessed them. One thing is you'll have a lower view of God and your morals will change. The images, the high places, the immorality, they were substitutes for the Lord. They were looking to be fulfilled in their lives in some other area, and it did not work. It's the same today when people have idolatry in their life. They lay aside the Bible for some substitute. Christians lay aside the Bible. They lay aside the church. They lay aside for their job or their hobby or their worldly pursuits. And then notice here, in now go back to 1 Kings chapter 14. Notice in verse 22, and Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy. You know why? Because God is a jealous God. Do you understand God loved the nation of Israel, how much He loved the nation of Israel? He was jealous for them. and he loved them. But he says, and they provoked him to jealousy with the sins which they had committed. And notice it says, above all that their fathers had done. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking worse than in when we went through the book of Judges. Well, it says, above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land. And they did according to all, notice this, abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. You say, well, listen to me. Every time you'll read a king that is a good king, when he comes into power, one of the first things he does is he gets rid of the sodomites. Amen. He said, we don't want that pollution in our land. Rehoboam allows it into his land. Do you know all this gender, pride month, all this? By the way, God hates pride any way, any direction. Abomination. God calls it abomination. And I'm not being hateful at all. I'm just saying sodomy is abomination to God. And if it's an abomination to God, it's abomination to God's people. And they listen, they laid aside. And you talk about the transgender and all this kind of stuff going on. Listen, it all starts with sodomy. It all starts with this lifestyle that is not, oh, well, preacher, don't you know scientifically they found out that they were born that way? No, we're all born with a propensity to sin. We're all degenerate. We're all wicked. I know that. But nobody's born like that. They're just born a sinner. And they choose that sin. Brother Gamble said something to me, and I thought, man, this is so good. You know, realize there's 64 supposedly genders or binary things or whatever in our land today. But yet there's only, if you want to change yourself from a man to a woman, or one, there's only two surgeries. One to go to a man, one to go to a woman. The other thing, I'm going to say this out loud, because isn't it amazing that every time a man who wants to be a woman, they always dress like a woman, it's always a dress. Well, what about that? It's an abomination. There's only two genders. You were either born a man or you were born a woman. And I will not say publicly, but if you come to me privately, I'll tell you. It's pretty simple. I want my girls to act like girls, dress like girls, look like girls. I want my boys to walk like boys. I want them to be like boys. I want them to eat dirt. I want girls to put on makeup and maybe a little frilly hair and look like a girl, act like a girl, and be prissy. That's okay. Whatever they do. One thing about a woman, if you're a man, you'll never understand that. It's not a woman is like a computer. You'll never be able to understand the intricate workings of that thing. But I'm thankful. I've said this 100 times. When my wife had Heather, even though I wasn't saved, I was thanking God that she was a woman and I was a man. And by the way, listen, men can't have babies and they can't get pregnant. So don't listen to the foolishness of people today. If a man got pregnant, it's because he's a woman. But you know what? It all starts with this idea of this right here, allowing this and permeating a society. And by the way, it ain't like half the population. It might be like 1% of population.
That's right.
But they scream the loudest.
That's right.
And then they say to people, like, we're unloved. No, we're not. We love people.
Right.
I do. I love people. People need to be saved.
Right.
People need to be saved. And when you get saved, then you'll want to do things the way God wants.
Amen.
But notice this. Listen. You lay aside the Bible. You allow immorality. And immorality comes in more than one package. It comes in lots of packages. And the land of Judah was corrupt. And what this means is Rehoboam tolerated and allowed this type of sin to permeate the land. Now, that's why I believe that when this, all this begins to happen, Rehoboam goes, why is this happening? That's why he sends the man of God to say, because you've forsaken God. You know, our nation is corrupt in many ways. The emphasis on reading and writing and arithmetic has been switched to topics on sex education, evolution, and abortion. Why don't you just teach a kid how to read and write and do arithmetic? And leave those things to the parents. And parents, you better be careful what you allow your children to be involved in. Whoever thought in the United States of America the mutilation of children would be tolerated and allowed? Let me say this right now. That's mental illness. That is absolutely mental illness. Can you imagine a 7-year-old child walking into his parents' living room and saying, "Dad, can I have a can of beer? Can I have a shot of whiskey?" 7-year-old kid. "Dad, can I have the keys to the car? I'd like to drive to Walmart." We would all say that is totally disallowable in a society. But yet a child walks into their father or mother's house and says, "I want to change my gender." They say that's normal. That is mental illness. Listen, that's what happens when you lay aside the Bible. When I was in school, and I know I'm old, and that's okay. Some of y'all are older than me. But when I was in school, we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I was in a public school for 12 years. I didn't even know homeschool existed. I was in a public school for 12 years, and every day we had prayer for our lunch. We said prayer before we started school, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and we loved the country that we lived in, and we were thankful that God we got to pray. When you take the Bible out of school, then you'll have anarchy. You'll have idolatry. You'll have immorality. Listen, what I said this morning is this. Romans 1 is in action right before our eyes. We were about 50 years removed from the so-called sexual revolution, and we're reaping the consequences of that nonsense. We're plagued with divorce and adultery and child molestation, pornography, transmitted diseases, AIDS, 50 million abortions. Listen, if God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, who is to think He won't judge us? You know why? Because we've substituted God. We've laid the Bible aside and we've substituted the Word of God for things that we want to do ourselves. And now it's moved in so-called churches. May God help us. We can't become comfortable and lay aside God's Word as Rehoboam did. Do you understand? This is the grandson of David. And then we go back to chapter 14 again and we read in verse number 25 again. "And it came to pass in the 5th year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he takes away the treasuries of the house of the Lord." Now, in 2 Chronicles it said that he goes through the fenced cities. He goes through the fenced cities, those cities that were set up to protect them. But God allows this to happen. "And the treasuries of the king house, he took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made." So what does Rehoboam do? He makes brazen shields and committed them to the hands of the chief guard, which kept the door of the king's house. Now, I could preach a whole message right now on substituting gold, substituting brass for gold. And I think you'd get the idea. Second best. Now, I want to say that God's glory was changed. They lost the gold. And when corruption sets in, they lose. They see the Satan robbing them, if you could put it that way. And let me tell you something. The devil is out to rob your testimony. He's out to get your peace. He wants your joy. He wants your power. He wants your usefulness. "Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Now, think about this. We go back to Solomon and we find that when Solomon made the alliance with Egypt, now it backfires on Israel. And Israel is dependent upon Egypt for protection instead of God. And Egypt became a substitute for God. It's very easy to say it like this. They decided that worldliness was better than godliness. And now they're plundered by Egypt and their security is insecurity. And they feel what it's like to substitute things. You see, they walked right through Judah. And again, there's in my mind, Rehoboam's like, God, why is this happening? You know, sometimes we say, Lord, why is this happening? And God will send the Bible or a preacher or the Word of God to say, because you forsook me. As far as I can find, and you can try to help me if I find something different, this is the first time an Egyptian army crossed the borders and invaded the land of Israel. Pharaoh's grip was real. They walked right in, took the shields. Now, we do see that they repented, but they lost what they had. You understand what I'm saying? If you move away from, if you lay aside the Bible and you do your own thing, you're always going to lose. You're always going to lose something. And I want you to understand, the reason that he took the brazen shields was try to keep the appearance that everything was okay. Now, brazen shields look a lot like golden shields, but they don't weigh as much and they're not worth as much. It's not the same. The glory of the golden shields is gone. The shields were stored in the guardhouse instead of the house of the forest in Lebanon. When you turn your back on God, you can't cover it up. When you forsake the Word of God, it's always going to come back to bite you. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You know what? You can put perfume on a pig, but it's still a pig. And as soon as it gets out, it'll go right toward the mud. I think it was somebody said a long time ago, I can't remember, trying to put lipstick on a pig, that is about the most ridiculous thing that you can do. There is forgiveness, but then there are scars. There's repentance, but they never got it back. They never got the golden shields back. Everybody got that? You can never recapture if you lay aside the Bible. Don't get upset when the preacher says, read your Bible every day. Don't get upset when the preacher says, prepare your heart toward God. Why? Because if you lay your Bible aside for just a little while, it's a whole lot easier to fall into immorality and to idolatry. How do we know? Because our story tells us that. Your morals will change and you'll allow the culture to tell you what the standard is rather than God's Word. Listen to me. Don't substitute the good. Don't substitute the best for something that's worldly. Don't do it. The man of God said, well, this is what's going to happen because you did that. And by the way, there'll always be a Bible verse. There'll always be a message. There'll always be something to remind us. Hey, well, praise God, we can not listen. They did humble themselves. And they did repent. And God said, okay, then I'm going to make it. Then I won't destroy you completely. Amen. Praise God. That's something. Now listen, here's the positive side. Because of what Jeroboam did, there'll never be a good king in the north. But because of David, and because at least Rehoboam repented, and the princes repented, and got right with God, guess what? God's going to allow some good kings to be in the south. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Don't substitute the world for the things of God tonight. Don't do it. Don't do it. Mothers, be careful on your influence of your children. Understand that we are influential upon our children. However, listen, children, everybody has to make their own choice. You've got to make your own choice to follow God. Come on tonight if you need to do business with God right now. Father, thank you for the stories of the kings and the prophets and the story of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And the Bible teaches us that they are our ensamples. And sometimes an ensample or an example is to not go that direction. And Lord, here was Jeroboam. Here was Rehoboam. Got comfortable, followed God for 3 years. But when he got comfortable and established, he laid aside the Bible, laid aside the Word of God. And God took away the protection and the shields were taken away out of Jerusalem. The fenced cities no longer were fenced. They were breached because God turned them over to that. God, I don't want to be turned over to the things of the world. I want You to convict me when there's conviction at need, and I want to repent and I want to be right with You. May we all be like that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.